when you need a way out. You've been trapped in that trial, full of sorrow and doubt. You saw a trickle of sunlight, but you found no escape. Just hold that he'd make a way.
He'll make a way in the middle of nowhere, where it seems so unthrilling. He's there by your side.
When he does that, when he makes a way where there is no way, he caused a highway to just appear in the midst of the Red Sea. He makes a way where there is no way. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? praise the name of the Lord. This time we're going to dismiss our children, age 5 to 11, to Children's Church. We should be closing on our land that we're purchasing right beside the church, touching our property here in 1 to 2 weeks. And so we'll have an opportunity, whatever the Lord would have us to do, we'll have the opportunity to do that. And I'm just along for the ride. I'm just enjoying what God's doing and all the miracles that are taking place. And He knows what He has planned for this church. As long as we continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness, stay humble before God, God will use this church in this last day. Let us not remove the old landmarks. Amen. We got to keep the old landmarks. That's a good way. That's a good place. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4. And verse number 26, Ephesians 4, 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to come into the sanctuary to worship the Father in spirit and in truth among God's people. Lord, we know that there's power in this place. It's an atmosphere of power. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst of them. Lord, we thank you for the power of your presence. Lord, we ask you to speak to us this morning by the holy, anointed word of God. I pray that it would prick and penetrate our hearts and our lives. Lord, change us. We ask you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the thought, neutralizing the acid of anger. Neutralizing the acid of anger. Uncontrolled anger undoubtedly is a very dangerous thing. We can see this all throughout the Word of God. One writer said these words, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it's stored than to anything in which it's poured. Did you hear that? Anger is the acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it's stored than anything in which it is poured. We can all tell stories of how we've lost it, amen? How we have not held our temper or our tongue, and how we've allowed anger to swell up in our hearts and to do things we shouldn't have done. Am I the only one who's got a story? I don't want to tell it all to you, but I've got some stories just like you have. When I did not control my attitude, my temper, and I allowed anger to get a hold of me, and sometimes it was a quiet anger, sometimes it was released, but I can tell you whenever I didn't deal with it quickly, it always did something to the inside of my inward parts. It's embarrassing whenever you and I have lost control. Now, I'm going to talk about different areas of anger, but I'm talking about that thing that you have not controlled in a time of temptation. You ever been there? Whenever you lost it, maybe you didn't throw a cuss fit, but I can tell you, you said some things, did some things that you wish that you'd have never done. I can remember whenever I was a young man, anger really got the best of me. I hadn't been married. I've been married for 22 years. So this has been about 20 years ago. I mean, I was saved because I've been saved for 25 years, but I was not yet sanctified. Amen. I believe I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I'm going to be saved. Amen. But I was about 20 years ago, and I was at the Brahms on Broadway right here. It was a fairly new store back then. And me and my wife, and I think Emily might have been just a few months old in the carriage. And I'm telling you, I had some issues. But this man, he was looking at my family. He just got out of his car, and he was just staring at my family. Like I felt it to be threatening. And instead of just ignoring it because he wasn't in close proximity, I mean, something got a hold of me, and I took off running on a Sunday in my suit towards the guy. I stuck my finger in his face, and I said, "Sir, do you have a problem?" And he said, "Well, no, I don't have a problem." I said, oh, okay. And I took off back to the car. I'm telling you, I made some major mistakes and I was embarrassed. I mean, I can tell you other times where I've messed up. I've messed up a lot. And the Holy Ghost had to bring conviction to this heart. I'm going to tell you, that is not godly. It is not the plan of God. And God, the Holy Ghost, wants to get a hold of some people today. You may not be as extreme as I was, but anger uncontrolled can be a devastating thing to your life. We've got to make sure that we are angry and we do not sin. So what does the Bible say about anger? In 15 different instances, the Bible mentions both the word anger and the word fire in the same verse. The comparison is very revealing about the qualities of this volatile emotion. Fire is a gift that can sustain life. We all know that. Fire can be a very good thing in our life. Whenever fire is contained, whenever it is controlled, when you manage fire, it can warm you. You can cook with fire. You can use it to heat water for a warm bath or use it to light candles or lamps to illuminate dark nights. But however, when fire rages out of control, it can destroy everything in its path. It can be one of the most devastating things, an uncontrolled fire, consuming in just a few moments everything we've spent a lifetime to build. Wildfires can destroy thousands of acres of timber, wildlife, and natural resources. Fire can even claim lives. Come on, church. I'm telling you, James says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Oh, this tongue sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. We better learn to control our tongue, our anger. Listen to me today. Fire can be a good thing, and fire can be a bad thing. Whenever it is associated with anger, it is a bad thing, just like fire. Our anger can be used constructively or destructively. If we're not very careful, uncontrolled anger can be an open invitation to an unwanted house guest. You ever had the devil come stay the night with you? You ever invited the devil for a sleepover to stay in your heart? That's exactly what happens whenever we allow anger to get the best of us and we go to sleep with wrath still in our heart. Listen, he is an unwanted house guest and he stays at so many homes at nighttime. Listen to me, you cannot undo the principles of the Word of God. Our text today says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. It's all connected. Whenever we're angry and we don't deal with it before the sun goes down, I'm telling you, you are in a very dangerous place. You are giving the devil a place in your heart. Basically, you're asking him to come over and have a sleepover with you, a sleepover in that heart, and he will get a place. He will get a stronghold. The enemy will get a foothold in your life. This text lets us know that anger itself maybe is not a sin. Anger is not a sin in itself. Again, like fire, there are two types of anger. There's a good kind of anger and a bad kind of anger. The good kind of anger can be a sanctified, righteous anger. It is a powerful emotion we experience when we get upset at something that affronts God. Listen, I get angry when I see the sin that's rampant, that's destroying homes and pornography. Listen, you don't understand how devastating pornography really is. It makes me angry. I mean, I want to go after the pornographers more, and I don't even want to tell you what I want to do to a child molester. I'm going to tell you, whenever it comes to a righteous anger, pornography, hear me today, it will mess up the brain. We have done, I sent something to the School of Ministry not long ago about what pornography does to the brain. It messes, it does the same thing that meth does to the brain. Have you ever seen that? They showed a picture of a regular brain and how a regular brain looks when it's healthy. Whenever you're on meth or on crack cocaine, the brain shrinks. Did you know that somebody who is addicted to pornography, the brain shrinks the same way that someone's addicted to meth? It will mess you up physically, mentally, and spiritually. Listen, I get mad at the devil. I get angry at sin. I get angry whenever I say, now, I don't want to direct it in the wrong way, but I get mad because there's a real devil out there in the people of God. We're not supposed to be ignorant to the devil's devices, but we let him come in. We get angry. We go to bed angry with our spouse. Come on, church. That's the reason why we're having so many marital problems in the house of God. That's the reason why we're angry with brothers and sisters in whom we're supposed to love. They're supposed to be the ones that strengthen us. We're to be there one for another. But we have aught against our brothers and sisters because something happened and we let ourselves go to sleep with anger in our hearts. We have given the devil a place. We invited the devil to have a sleepover in our heart, and now he has got a foothold. Now he's in a controlling place. Now it started out with just a little bit of hurt, then it goes to unforgiveness, then it moves to bitterness, and then it will destroy you. What you better do to protect yourself, you say, well, I'm not going to forgive them because they haven't asked for forgiveness. No, you better forgive them to protect yourself. You got to make sure it's right between you and them just so you don't get contaminated with spiritual carcinogens, cancer, spiritual cancer causing agents. The bad kind of anger, on the other hand, usually results when we lose control of our emotions, take matters in our own hands. Sinful anger is getting angry at something, maybe even something legitimate, something that even also angers God, but then allowing the anger to lead us to the wrong thing. I'm telling you, I've been on both sides of this thing. I've had a righteous anger that I handled myself the right way. And then I've seen things that, I mean, whenever I first got saved, somebody used God's name in vain. I told them I was going to knock them out. You don't curse my God. That is not godly. That is not the right thing to do. Amen. Listen, if you open the door to the devil through your anger, you're offering him a guest room in your heart. Do you hear what I'm saying today? It's a dangerous thing. Acid begins to boil up in that heart. And the Bible is full of examples of people who allow the enemy to set up camp in their hearts. Remember Cain and Abel? Two brothers that both offered sacrifices unto the Lord. The first recorded sibling rivalry between two brothers, and they were the sons of Adam and Eve. Both made offerings to God. God accepted Abel's sacrifice because it was made exactly as God instructed. But God did not accept Cain's because Cain decided to do it his own way. Listen, this is not a situation in the kingdom of God where we can do what we want and ask God to bless it. No, we don't do it our way and ask God to bless anything in our life. No, we come by the pattern of the Almighty God. We come His way. We get His instruction. We go His route. Amen? Listen, you have to understand God has a plan. Cain did it wrong and Abel did it right. Because of this, Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain's was rejected. And Cain got angry. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis 4 and 6. Cain was very angry. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, referring to sin, and thou shalt rule over him. Whenever it said that sin lieth at the door, it means that it's crouching. You ever seen a cat that's about to pounce and it's just barely moving? Whether it's a little cat or if it's something you've seen on the Discovery Channel through a tiger or a lion, they all act the same way. They sneak up on their prey and then they pounce. Listen, the Lord tells Cain sin is crouching at the door. It's positioning itself to attack you because you've allowed anger in your heart. Listen to me. What the Lord was trying to warn Cain, don't let this thing get a hold of you. And whatever they did to you, I'm warning you, they may have been so wrong and you may have been so right. Oh, they did it. You don't understand why they did it. I can tell you today on the authority of God's holy word that sin's crouching at the door. You cannot allow that anger to get a hold of you. You got to release it, let it go, walk away from it, give it to the Almighty God. God knows how to heal. God knows how to manifest himself whenever we obey his word. You know the rest of the story. Cain let his anger overtake him, and he murdered his brother. I mean, every sin starts with something in the mind. No serial killer ever decided one day he's just going to kill people. Now, that's an extreme crime. But it all started with a thought that never got cast down. Listen, you cannot entertain any thought that is not godly or wholesome. You say, well, my thoughts don't hurt anybody but myself. No, your thoughts are always connected to somebody else. The Bible says for us to cast down every imagination. Listen, there's a lot of wicked thoughts that come into my mind. And if you'll be honest, it does yours too. But the moment they come in, I cast it down. It's not a sin to be tempted. What becomes a sin is whenever you meditate on those thoughts. Can I get a witness this morning? I'm telling you, there are things that people have done to me that are hurtful. And as a pastor, people have stabbed me in the back and they've lied about me. They've gotten mad because I didn't shake their hand. I'm telling you something. If I was going to give up, I'd have gave up about 20 years ago. But what I've got to do is ignore it. Why? Because too many lives depend on what I do. I'm not the victim, ladies and gentlemen. The victim is that drug addict out there that is under the power of sin and under the power of darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need to worry about ourselves. What we need to worry about is doing the will of God. Cast down those imaginations and pray through over those anger thoughts, those feelings, those emotions. Cain killed his brother because he allowed that thing to get a hold of him. He went to sleep on it. God accepted one and rejected the other. And Cain got mad. Listen, God will bless people in the church world. He'll bless people in the church, and other church members will get mad. Somebody pulls up in a new car, and man, I'm telling you, I don't think it happens over here at Harvest Time Church, but I can tell you at some churches it happens. They'll pull up in a new car, and boy, the whispering just starts. Well, what are they? Well, they're just trying to show off their new job and all the money they're making, and they probably can't even afford that anyway. Well, it ain't none of your business anyway. Come on. Listen, if they want to get in debt, or maybe they pay cash for it, praise God. We ought to rejoice with our brother. That's another message. I'll move on. But listen to me. God will bless one. Why? Maybe that person, listen, they make good decisions financially. Listen, we're a lot of times we're in a position that we're in because of our own choices. God warned Cain, sin's crouching at the door. It's ready to pounce you. You better deal with that anger. He didn't. And he killed his brother. Maybe you've never taken someone's life. But if you've allowed anger free reign in your heart, are you ever wished that somebody would just disappear? I've had people confess to me, Brother Matt, I would never kill anybody, but I sure prayed that God would take them. You're just as guilty as Cain. According to the Word of God, you're a murderer. Oh, well, listen, they make me so mad. I just wish my boss would have a wreck on the way to work. Well, you're a murderer. You say, well, I never pulled the trigger. Well, I can tell you, according to the Word of God, you're a murderer. Listen what Jesus himself said in Matthew 5:21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever said to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Listen, when I think about how easy my heart is angered, my heart sinks. Listen to me today. We all better get a hold of these little issues that we have of being upset whenever somebody does something wrong to us or didn't do us right. Come on. Jesus said we don't have to murder someone to be guilty of killing them with our thoughts. What does raca mean? It's an Aramaic term that's similar to these words. You idiot. Or you jerk. You're such a jerk. I could give an altar call right now. Raca. Raca, Aramaic term, similar to idiot or jerk. Fool, thou fool. You're a fool. Well, the Bible says you're in danger of hell fire. Listen, the Bible can call me a fool, but I have no right to call somebody else a fool. If you want to know if you are a fool, read the book of Proverbs in its entirety over and over again. I have read those chapters over and over again. I'm like, I'm a fool. Oh, God, forgive me because I said this or I did this. Listen, someone who cannot handle reproof or instruction, the Bible calls you a fool. Someone who speaks everything that comes to their mind, the Bible calls you a fool. Come on, church. We better get back to the Word of God. Listen, God can call us a fool, but we have no right calling anyone else a fool. God's Word is very clear that if we don't get a handle on our anger, anger's going to handle us. How do you let your anger manifest? Well, I'm going to talk to you about two different kinds of anger. Most people express their anger in one of two ways. I call it the hair trigger anger. I'm more in that line. I don't hold stuff in. I'm like, okay. And then we have the slow cookers. So we're going to deal with both of them today. A hair trigger are those that I also call the hair triggers the spewers. A spewer has a short fuse and a hot temper. I mean to tell you, they've got some buttons that you better not push. Listen, you know better than to push my buttons. You ever said that to somebody? Hey, you're provoking me. Come on, don't be provoking me. And then you just explode on them. Come on. There's a lot of spewers out there. They just spew it out like a volcano. They get mad and you know they're mad and they want everybody else to know they're mad and they don't hold it in. Listen, I tell you what Proverbs says about that person. Proverbs 14 and 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. I'm telling you, I've had to pray through over some things myself, and I get it mixed up, my righteous anger, and I didn't have to get angry. I didn't have to sin, but I let that righteousness get into the flesh. But listen to me today. Listen, he says in Proverbs 14 and 17, he that is soon angry, they're like a volcano, they explode, is a fool, the Bible calls you. So if you vent your anger, the Bible says you're very, very foolish. Aren't you glad that we're being worked on by the great potter? We're the potter. He's the potter. We're the clay. What about the slow cookers? Slow cookers, you're not off the hook this morning. Don't congratulate yourself because you're not a spewer. Slow cookers, the other group of people, they bottle up their anger. You may not explode and lash out, but your anger's still there, and you know it's still there. You're just a whole lot more cautious about handling it, and you know how to conceal it. Instead of exploding like a volcano, you're more like a wildfire hiding beneath the tree line after a lightning strike. The sparks of your anger come out by rolling your eyes or being sarcastic. You hold a grudge and look for an opportunity for payback. Listen, they don't know you're going to pay them back, but you're ready for them and you know how to get them back. Maybe because you're a slow cooker, you're more hypercritical. Everybody's doing something wrong and you don't like the way they do this and you don't like this. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too loud. It's not loud enough. I wish they'd sing different songs. They're not singing this or not doing this. I mean to tell you, in every area of your life, you're hypercritical and judgmental as a result of your slow burning coals of anger. You got spewers and stewers. Some spew and some stew slowly. They're both very, very dangerous. And whatever category you fall in today, listen, we got to pray through over it. I'm going to give you some simple principles at the end to help you. But listen, David in the Old Testament was a frequent stewer. He smiled. He kept himself under control, but he stewed. Listen, it's good to not explode and to keep yourself under control, but you got to learn to process and deal with those thoughts. If you allow them to stay inside, you're going to be like David was in Psalms 32 and 3. Listen to what David says. It records a time when David was really upset and he was holding it all in. He was stewing. The Bible says that, he says, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. David was saying, I kept quiet. I bottled it up. And the more I bottled it up, the angrier I got. I stewed and I was upset. Listen, when we get upset, just like David, rather than talking things out in a healthy way, we pour them into an eternal crock pot and pressure cooked. And I'm telling you today, I see a lot of this kind of stuff. I'll counsel people and then that stuff just slowly just starts coming out and I hear it and it's in a calm manner. There's someone that's just stewing over it. Listen to me today. It doesn't matter if you're a spewer or a stewer. You must deal with it. Even the stewers in 1 Corinthians 13:5, the Bible says that the way you handle yourself, it's not love. Love does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Do you know that love does not even keep a record of wrongs? You notice how I'm dealing with stewers more than spewers, because I'm not a stewer. You know, I just deal with it real quick. Love does not keep a record of wrong. You did this to me. You did that to me. Listen, you did this. And every time something comes up, you bring up the past. Listen to me. If it's the true love of Christ manifesting in your heart, you release it and let it go. Somebody in this house needs to hear this message today. Some of you are spewers and some of you are stewers. Some of you are very outward and some of you are pressure cookers. Listen to me. Both will destroy. We better deal with it. Either you're a spewer or a stewer. If you don't deal with it, we're all going to end up in a spiritual sewer. Amen? Is it not the truth? Come on, church. Listen, we've got to deal with this. Stewards keep a long line of offenses. She did this to me. He did that to me. I'll never forgive them because they keep doing it. I would forgive them, but they keep on doing the same thing over and over again. Well, you ain't doing nothing but hurting yourself. That's why you're so mean. Bitter, angry. That's why everybody can see it but you, because you're upset with that individual. You're angry. You let the sun go down in your wrath, and there is a spiritual cancer that's taken root in your heart, and you're spewing, and you're angry, and you're talking about what they did to you. Listen to me. I say it again. You need to learn to let it go. Let it go, and God will begin to heal you. Do you remember the prodigal son in Luke 15? The older brother was one that stewed a lot. The prodigal son took all of his inheritance and spent it. When he came back, he finally came back. The father, he was so overjoyed to see his son. He killed the fatted calf. He put a robe on his back and put a ring on his hand. And the older boy, he was angry because he's like, Dad, I never did this. I always did what you wanted. He was a steward, and he ended up, unless he repented, the Bible doesn't record it, he ended up dying a miserable life. There's a lot of people that are miserable because they won't let things go. Listen, stop telling people you can't control your temper when you can. Brother Matt, I can't control my temper. Listen to this. You ever seen somebody that does this right here? I mean, they're getting after it. Now, I'm not talking about anything that me and my wife has done. We're having a intense moment of fellowship, and then somebody calls. We may be in just a little intense moment of fellowship. We don't argue, amen. All of a sudden, someone calls, and I'm talking. Well, honey, I just don't. Hello, how are you doing? Or maybe you're screaming at the kids, Mama. I told you kids to get back in there, brush your teeth, and go to bed. Hello, hey girl. You say, I can't control myself. You just did. I prove to you, you can control yourself, because around certain people, you can control yourself. Listen, if you can control yourself on the phone, oh, you can control yourself at the house too. You can control yourself in the car too. It's all connected. Well, I can't control myself around my family. See what you just said? You just said you can't control yourself around. You can. We just don't want to. Come on, church. I'm telling you, we can keep it. If you think you're about to lose your job, a high-paying job, because you can't control your mouth, I guarantee you, you're going to keep your mouth shut. Why? Because that job's connected to my family. If I don't have that job, I can't take care of my family. Listen, we will control ourselves. We just do as much as we think we can get by with. We can control our temper. We can control our temper. Listen, we've got to learn how to let things go. I remember, I don't think I've ever told this story. I was probably 4 or 5 years old. There are very few things I remember when I was 4 or 5, okay? But it was one of those monumental times. Me and my brother, we were arguing. We got in a fight. And my dad came in there, and he said something to me. I mean, you know, usually he just beat us for fighting, you know, but something very calming came over him. And he said, "Matt, you just need to let it go." He said, "You got to ask your." I remember this. I was a little child, little bitty child. And he's counseling me, and he said, "You got to ask yourself, does this really matter, what you're fighting over, what you're arguing over? Does it really matter? Is it really that important?" Listen, most things that we get angry about, it's connected to our feelings being hurt. It's really connected to our pride. It's connected to so many things that we should have done prayed through over, and things that are operating in the flesh. And what let me get back to this and say, most things that we get angry, it's connected to our pride. They hurt our feelings. They didn't include us, or this happened, or that happened, or we didn't get this, or we didn't get recognized. Come on. I'm telling you, our pride is the original sin. It's what caused an angel to turn into a devil. If pride can cause an angel to turn into a devil, what can pride do to us? It's wicked. It's destructive. Pride will destroy you. Does it really matter? Ask yourself the question, does it really matter? Is it worth arguing over? Is it worth getting angry over? A lot of things are not worth getting angry at. James chapter 1 and 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Listen to those three things. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Let me break it down for you. Listen. Number 2, take some time to process before speaking. And number 3, don't jump straight into being angry. Are you with me? We got to deal with some things. Most of the time, people leave churches over miscommunications. I said this Wednesday night. I just felt the Lord lead me at the end of the service to say this, that if you think that you're not loved here, the devil has lied to you, because you are, everyone in this church is very much loved. You are a part of this congregation. Listen, I hear it all the time. People struggle with, maybe I'm not a part. Maybe they don't care about me because of this or this. If you believe that lie, you have fallen into the trap of Satan himself. That is a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Listen to me today. This church loves you. You are a part. Don't listen to that garbage. Listen, people leave because of miscommunications. The enemy will place thoughts in their mind, or they'll get angry over one thing, something that maybe that no one even knew about, and you end up leaving, and the enemy has won that victory. The other kind of anger, and I'm going to close with this, is what I call a sanctified anger, and it requires a different response. Scripture often gives examples of Jesus getting angry, and it gives several examples, but I'm going to give you one. It's found in Mark chapter 3 and verse 1, and it deals with the man who had the withered hand. Do you remember that? Can you imagine a man that had a withered hand? It was just all drawn up. And the Pharisees, these religious people, there's a difference between religion and life. Amen? Religion is rules and regulation. Religion is my group, my foreign no more. It's all of what you can be outwardly to man. And it all goes back to edifying and honoring yourself. Listen, there's a difference between religion and life. But these Pharisees, the Bible said they were watching Jesus to see if he would heal someone on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine that? To criticize the Son of God because he healed anyone on the Sabbath day. Jesus knew their thoughts. And the Bible said that he speaks to them in Mark 3 and 4. And he saith unto them, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about them with anger, Jesus was angry, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Jesus was angry, but he did not sin. So what did he do? He harnessed his anger, and he used it in a sanctified way. Same thing that we can do. Rather than allowing his anger to cause him to sin, can someone come to the piano? Rather than allowing the anger that Jesus felt to cause him to sin, because you got a choice when you get angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Jesus had a choice. And what he did is he harnessed that anger. And instead of doing wrong, he did right by healing that man, although they were going to accuse him. He redirected his anger to do something righteous. Listen, it's okay to be angry. You can be angry and not sin. Let the Spirit of God fan that flame. Remember, anger and fire is connected in many, many passages. Is your marriage struggling? Get angry. Not at your spouse. Get mad at the devil who's moved his stuff into your home. Put him on notice. Kick him out. Are you sick and tired of seeing disease and poverty and cruelty? Maybe in another country or even in your own city? Get angry. Do something righteous about it. Do you love someone who is wallowing in self-destruction and sin and making bad decision after bad decision? Get angry. Reach out to them with everything that is within you. Fast and pray. Listen, you can be angry and sin not. Can we stand? Listen, the Lord told Cain, sin is crouching at the door. It's positioning itself to attack you. I'm going to go back to one verse that I said. I mean, it's our text. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, if I go to that person, they're going to think I'm so foolish and I'm making a big deal out of nothing. Is that what you think sometimes? Well, listen, there are certain things you just need to pray through over. I agree. You don't need to bring everything to everybody all the time. But a lot of times we just stew or we spew because we don't want to go to that person and ask the question, have I done something wrong to you? If I think there's something between me and Brother Brian, maybe I think that I've done something because he's ignoring me. Brother Brian's not ever ignoring me. But if I think Brother Brian's ignoring me, or I think something's going on, or maybe he just don't feel the same way about me, immediately in my mind, I'm going to go to all the things, the last month of things, contact we had and situations we've been through. What did I do? What did I do? And those thoughts can move to, well, you know what? We'll forget you, Brian. Poor guy ain't done nothing wrong. Just wants to give to Jesus, you know. He's having a tough time. Maybe he's having some trouble at his job, and I think it's directed towards me. Isn't it something how we allow the enemy to play games with our mind, and we think someone's mad at us, or we think it's a lot of miscommunications, and then we turn around and get angry at them. How dare you treat me that way? Well, they ain't done nothing. They're going through stuff themselves. And you've played right into the scheme and the trap of the devil. It's a trap. It's a trap. And you fell for it. I have fell for it. I have fell for it. But I'm learning to stop falling for that trap. I have hundreds of 240, 250 preachers in my phone. I'll text a preacher and they won't text me back. Used to, I'm thinking, really? Okay. I got you, big boy. Well, you can forget about me ever texting you again. I'll get you out of, and I'm just talking to myself. This is a long time ago now. I don't do that no more. I make excuses for them. And guys are busy. Oh, bless their heart. Help them, Lord. They're probably so overwhelmed with people who think that the preacher's angry at them. I got some good counsel for you. Give people in the kingdom of God the benefit of the doubt. You don't know what they're going through. We get so wrapped up in our life, in our problems, our family, our issues, and we don't understand how no one can understand what we're going through. You have no idea what they're going through. They may be suffering abuse in their home. They may be struggling with mind battles. And the list goes on and on and on of things that they can be going through. And you don't understand why they did this to you and they didn't talk to you. How dare them? I'll just leave that church and go to a church that cares. You fell right into the devil's plan, his trap, his scheme. If I were the devil, I'm not the devil. Paul Harvey had an article, "If I Were the Devil, This Is What I'd Do." And you've read that, you've heard that. If I were the devil, I'd whisper in your ear. I would know. The devil's watched every one of us for years, so he knows everything about us. He can't read our minds, but he knows about us. He knows what makes us tick because he listens to us. He watches us, our body movements, our body language, what we love, the things we say. And I'd figure you out. I'd find out what bothered you, because if you've done said it, if I were the devil, I'd whisper that constantly in your ear. Constantly. That's what the devil does. And you know what I'm talking about. Some of you here this morning, you've been struggling. You've struggled in the past. Maybe you're not struggling today. But you know what I'm talking about. Some of you this morning are really going through it. And the enemy's whispering in your ear. And everything he's telling you looks true. It looks right. Why can't it be right? I know it has to be right. I know this is what's happening. The devil is a liar. Don't fall for his traps, his schemes, his lies. He's a liar. The devil, everything about him is lies. He'll take the truth of God's word and twist it just a little where it becomes a lie. He'll take divine truth and twist it where it becomes a lie. Hear me today. This church loves you. These people in this church love you. God's not through with you. The devil's a liar. Hold on to God. Sometimes the darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. I believe God's going to help somebody at these altars this morning. I don't know nothing, so don't call me tomorrow and say, "Did my wife call you? Did my husband?" Ain't nobody called me. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost knows. The Holy Ghost knows. I want us just to come down to these altars, find a place to pray.
Today, I have exposed the lies of the adversary. Stop.
Hallelujah. Come and find a place to pray around these altars. God's speaking to us. The Holy Ghost is speaking to us this morning.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.